Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
So what costs more, boiling your kettle or making toast? And is using the dryer a complete no-no? Irish Times consumer affairs correspondent Conor Pope is with us now to break down energy costs and tell us how we can reduce our bills. And Conor, this is really front of mind, I think, for everybody, because if we haven't seen our bills go up already, we are expecting it, aren't we, even over the summer because of what's been happening internationally.
That's exactly right. And we don't know yet just how much our energy bills will go up. I think Dara O'Brien said last week that electricity bills might go up by 9%. And then Peter Burke, another minister, said that energy bills in total, which would obviously include things like petrol or diesel, could go up by as much as 30%. Now, if you just split them down the middle, that would see the average Irish household worse off by around €500 a year. And as you say, it's all down to global volatility. And there's very little that we as individual consumers can do to challenge those costs, because we are totally at the mercy of what's happening outside of this country. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we can do is we can look at our own usage and we can try and take back a little bit of power, because that's all, for want of a better word, because that's really the only choice that we have. And by saying that, I mean, we can maybe reflect on how much we're using and see if there's any way that we can save money on our bills. Okay. Now, one of the things that we've talked about ad nauseum on the show is switching. So I'm not even going to talk about that now, because that's on the table for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But there are other ways that you can
cut costs. But just before you move on, Conor, you do say in your piece today in the Irish Times that if you haven't switched, you really should. Like, it's still worth it, in other words, because I think people feel that there isn't the value to be had now by moving.
Oh, listen, and I can't stress enough to your listeners how important it is. And it's important to act now, because one of the things that happened after Russia invaded Ukraine was energy bills went up. But also another thing that happened was the discounts offered to new customers virtually disappeared. So that means that, like, we're all paying a standard unit rate. And let's say that the standard unit rate is 35 cent per kilowatt mm-hmm. hour. If you move from company A to company B, you could see that standard unit rate now fall by 10 or 20%. Now, that could easily knock £600 off your bill. Yet more than 70% of us don't switch. And whatever about switching your brand of cornflakes or your brand of broadband or your brand of health insurance, it's an absolute no-brainer when it comes to energy, for the very simple reason that there's no difference in the quality of supply or the quality of the product. I have never once in my life heard someone saying, do you know what, the gas from Electric Ireland is really good. Because it's the same with every single company. There's no discount continuation of supply. And the thing is, if you use the likes of switcher.ie or bonkers.ie, you can do it while you're sitting on the couch tonight in 15 minutes. And I guarantee your listeners, if they were to do that while they're watching the telly tonight, they will save themselves hundreds of euros. So if you haven't done that, that is the very first thing that you need to do.
Okay. So then you explain this 60-20-20 rule. What's
exactly
that?
Okay, so 60-20-20 means that 60% of a typical bill goes on heating your home, and then 20% is needed for heating the water for your showers and your washing and all that stuff, and then 20% is spent on electrical appliances. So that's 60, and look, it varies from house to house, and it would depend on how big your house is, or, you know, how sensitive you are to the cold and how often you have your heat on, but generally speaking, it's a 60-20-20 rule. And obviously then, heating is the biggest expense, and that's probably where your listeners should focus in on when it comes to cutting their bills substantially, not necessarily during the summer, because hopefully we won't have our heat on much during the summer, but over the course of a 12-month period. And again, when it comes to heating your house, there's so many variables in there. How big is your house? How many rooms are you heating? Do you have good insulation? Do you have a chimney? Do you have a stove? All of these different things. But let's say the typical Irish household bill now is €3,000. And it's a little bit higher than that, but let's just, for ease of numbers, 60% of that is €1,800. Now, if you have the heat on for 8 months a year and the average cost of your energy is 35 cent per kilowatt hour, which is what I mentioned, for those 8 months, you're spending €225 a month. Mm-hmm. That's 750 a day. Now, if you could lower your thermostat from 22 degrees, which is nice and pleasant, to 20 degrees, you'd see the cost fall to $6.80 a day. Now, 70 cent, you're listening to me, Claire, going, that's not going to make any difference. But you spread the 70 cent over the course of the 8 months that you're heating your house, that's 150 quid. So mm-hmm. that's not to be sniffed at.
It's a start, isn't nothing. It?
And I don't know about you, but when I grew up in the 1970s and 80s, like you're obviously much younger than me, but once there was no, like we were basically walked around in our duffel coats in the 1980s.
Oh yeah, we used to get dressed. Well, get dressed in bed. That was the trick.
The idea that you'd walk down in your shorts to a balmy tropical living room, like it was just nonsense.
No, it didn't happen.
But it was a different time. So anyway, if you lowered your thermostat, and 20 degrees is still good, because I think it's really important to stress here, I'm not suggesting anyone spends their days and nights living in a cold and miserable house, mm-hmm. because that's bad for older people. It's bad for people who have medical conditions, and it's just miserable. But like from 22 to 20 degrees will save you around 150 quid a year. The next thing is a shower. Now, a shower uses around 10 kilowatts of energy, which means that if you were to spend an hour in the shower, that would be around 350. But nobody's going to spend an hour in the shower because that's wildly excessive.
Unless they're a teenager or a preteen.
Super crinkly when you came out of it. Mm. Okay. So if a 10 minute shower would cost you 58 cent, but every minute less you spend in the shower saves you 6 cent. Okay. So if you drop it from 10 to 7, you've saved yourself 18 cent. Now, again, you're listening to me saying 18 cent. Well, sure, that's nothing. But you do that for a full year, you've saved yourself 60 quid. And if there's four people living in your house and they're all fairly clean, you're looking at saving 240 quid over the course of a year by that one simple measure.
And you add that to your 150 from your heating. We're getting somewhere.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's the immersion. Obviously, you never put on the immersion unless you've won the lotto, because it costs you €1.10 an hour to run it. So just like try not put on the immersion. Then there's things like if you break it down, and you can kind of really get into the weeds. You mentioned a kettle there. So a kettle uses around 2.5 kilowatts per hour. So if you were to boil a kettle for an hour, that'd be 92 cent. But like, obviously, that's not how we'd measure these things. But boiling the kettle once, like a full kettle, is around 80 cent. Or sorry, 80, jeepers, it's around 8 cent. And you do that over the course of a day for 5 cups of tea, you're looking at 40 cent. And, you know, again, this goes back to when I was a student. Like, nobody would ever fill a kettle. You'd put enough water in your kettle for your cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And again, if we were to follow that kind of logic, and I'm not suggesting you do it slavishly or you do it in a really mean-spirited way, but just think about how you're doing these things and you will shave a few bob off the bill. And that's the only thing that we're trying to do here. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to save you hundreds and hundreds of euros over the course of a year doing one or two or three of these things, but it's the incremental steps. And if we could all knock 20% off our electricity bills by being more savvy with how we use our energy, and then another 10 or 15% off our energy bills by being more savvy with the provider that we have and how we switch, you could be saving yourself the guts of a grand over the course of a year, which is not to be sniffed at.
Conor, questions coming in, and just on switching, a listener says there's too much jargon and it's really complicated to try and figure out who's offering the best deal. Do you agree with that?
There's a lot of jargon, and I think sometimes we can allow ourselves to be baffled and bemused by all of that stuff. But the really simple thing is you just need to work out what is the financial impact of you moving from company A to company B. And if you go on to one of those switching websites, they will have some drop down boxes. You just answer a few questions. Now, you won't know the answer to some of the questions, you know, but that doesn't really matter. They will give you straight away in less than 3 minutes an indicative value of how much money you could save. Mm-hmm. And let me just give you a real time example. I moved from one company to another company last year. They knocked around 500 quid off the bill. And I thought, well, that's not too shabby. And then I went through the process. I got sent out the new forms and the bill and all that stuff by the new company, and then straight away my old company rang me and said, not only will we match the unit rate that you've been given by company B, we'll give you 300 quid off your next bill. So I saved 800 quid by doing absolutely nothing, mm-hmm. except making a few calls. And it is complicated, and if you look at the bill, and I don't even look at the bill, but if you look at the bill, there's all of these numbers and you're going, oh god, well, how do I work all this out? You need the meter reading, you need your account number, you need your name and your address, and that's it. And everything else, you can ignore.
I have some immersion questions for you. Can you ask Conor if it's cheaper to put the heat on for an hour or turn the immersion on to get hot water for washing dishes, etc.? That's from Kieran.
Well, you see, that's a good question, because if you turn the immersion on, all you're getting is the hot water. But if you have a system in your house that heats the house and heats your hot water simultaneously, turning on the heat will give you the hot water and will heat your house. It will probably save you, I think we were saying you spend around $750 for having the heat on for around 8 hours. So I think having the heat on for an hour is probably around 95 cent. Having the immersion on is around €1.10. So the savings are minuscule, but you get the double hit by putting on the heat because you get a slightly warmer room and you get your hot water. Although having said that, the immersion will heat the water faster. So it depends on what you need the water for, listener. If you want to have a really long shower and you're working off the immersion, or if you want a bath, well, then you might be better off turning on the immersion. But it really depends on what you're using it for.
We're going in deep into the immersion questions here now, Connor. I'm sorry about this in advance. Is it cheaper to put on the immersion for a shower or use the electric shower?
It's cheaper to use the electric shower because there's two things here, right? The electric shower, a 10-minute shower is going to cost you 50 cent, 58 cent. But as I've already lectured your listeners on, you're going to cut that 10-minute shower down to 7 cent. So that means you're looking about spending about 45 cent for your shower. You put on the immersion for an hour, it's going to cost you €1.10. Let's say you want the, but we all know, right, that what's going to happen is you'll put on the immersion for the hour, Claire. You'll start doing your dishes, or you'll start watching the telly, or you'll take the kids to school, and then you'll come back 7 hours later and you'll realise, oh my God, I've just left the immersion on for 7 hours. I am going to be killed by my deceased parents. They'll be spinning in their graves at the thought of that happening. So it's much more effective, I think. The power shower is a much more effective way of washing. And also, it's just much more reliable because you're not saying, oh God, I have one. The water's getting a bit lukewarm now. Should I get out now? But I'm not fully clean yet. So I'm a power shower guy all the way.
Now, this listener has been on a prepay meter since they moved into the house 10 years ago. Switched last autumn, and I'm sorry I didn't do it sooner. Have they switched from the prepay meter then?
I hope so, because one of the things that really kills me about our society is oftentimes the people who can afford at least end up paying the most. So if you switch to a prepay meter, and there can be lots of reasons why that's a beneficial thing, because it allows you to keep control of your energy usage, you're not getting any bill shock and all of that stuff. But typically, someone who's on a pay-as-you-go meter pays a lot more than somebody who's on a regular electricity bill and who's paying by direct debit and who's got e-billing and all the rest of it. So I hope that person switched from the pay-as-you-go meter to the regular electricity usage, because they will save themselves a substantial amount of money.
I'm pretty sure that is what they're saying. So they switched last autumn from the prepay and they're sorry that they didn't do it sooner. So they get a 30% discount, half price electricity between 11 p.m. and 8 a.m. Some small changes in how I use certain appliances, and I'm saving a fortune. The last bill for a household of four was €164, which is good for electricity. And just on the night rate there, getting the half price electricity between 11 and 8. And a lot of people who have EVs now are going for that night rate, aren't they? But it does mean that you've got to put your appliances on at night as well. You have to remember to do it. And if you don't, you put your appliances on during the day, you're paying a lot more, aren't you?
Exactly. So I think there's around 2 million houses now have smart meters, and there's various discounted rates offered to smart meters. So the simplest one is the one that would have been in existence for donkey's years, which is the day and night meter. And you pay a lot less for your nighttime electricity usage. But the smart meters, if they're used efficiently, can be really good. Now, the key word there is if they're used efficiently. Because if you have a smart meter, for instance, and some of the smart meter tariffs will give you free electricity on a Saturday. So that would be the day to do your tumble drying and to charge your EV if you have an EV, and to do all your heavy energy usage. But of course, that means that you're working on a Saturday doing all your chores, which is not necessarily ideal for everybody. And then there's the smart meters that will allow you much heavier discounted rates at nighttime versus between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., which is, as you will know, the most high energy intensive usage in the country. By the way, with that listener who got in touch, I think the one word that jumped out at me when you were reading out that text was the word May. Because that listener made their switch last May. And what I would implore them to do this May is make the switch again. Because the way the electricity and gas sector works is you are offered the discounted rate for a 12-month period. And once the 12-month period ends, you go back up to the higher rate that she would have been paying the standard unit rate. Mm-hmm. So it's tedious, but it is very important for everybody who wants to save themselves money on their energy bills. You got to switch once every 12 months. You don't. It's not just a one hit and you're out kind of thing. You have to do it once a year. And if you don't do it once a year, you do end up paying the higher rates.
And just a quick one before we finish, because there's some questions coming in on the air fryer and whether it's energy hungry. Is it?
No, actually, an air fryer, if you use an air fryer, it will use a lot less energy than if you use the cooker for an hour. I'm just trying to think. I think I have it somewhere here. I can't remember, but it is much cheaper. I
than
think
the, if you use an air fryer on the
for
oven.
1 hour. Yeah, if you use an air fryer for 1 hour, 7 days a week, it could cost you a fiver, which is, you know, it's a lot.
You're not going to be using it for an hour, really, unless you're baking potatoes.
No, using it, exactly. You'd be using it for kind of 20 minutes at a time. So you'd be looking at it costing you maybe 250. And that would be cooking something in the air fryer every single day, mm-hmm. costing you 250. If you put on the oven, you've got to heat it. Then you've got to, you know, cook, and then you get, you know, so it is more energy heavy. The one thing about the oven, though, is, and I remember speaking to somebody about this, an environmentalist, and they were always delighted. What they do is after they put on the oven, they leave the oven open for like half an hour, and then the heat from the oven heats their kitchen. I was like, that's an excellent idea that I've never thought of, and I've never done since, even though I know in my head it's a great idea.
Yeah, while forgetting to switch the immersion off. You know, thanks so much, Connor. That's Connor Pope there from the Irish Times. And thanks for all of your questions on that. Our WhatsApp number again, 087 1400 106. We have a great competition for you this week. The Grace Westport Estate is a new luxurious hotel destination in the West. It's a perfect base to explore the surroundings, including Clew Bay, Croagh-Patrick, Matt Malloy's famous pub in Westport Town, wander the Westport Estate and the gardens and settle into the tranquility that surrounds you. For more information and for online booking, see thegrace.ie. We have a two-night stay on offer to a listener every day this week. So you're going to stay in a signature room with breakfast on both mornings and dinner on an evening of your choice at the Black Sheep Restaurant. So for your chance to win, tell us, who is this famous Mayo native?
I grew up in the west of Ireland, wedged between four brothers, two older than me and two younger than me. So of course I had to be interested in human rights and equality and justice and using my elbows. And those issues stayed with me and guided me.
So who is it? You need to text the word Mayo, your answer and your name to us now on 53106. That's 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. And we'll bring you a winner before the end of the show. Coming up next, the son of prominent Palestinian prisoner Marwan Barghouti.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.